did pass yesterday. Right?
Okay, no, we did only Vav. We only did Vav. Okay, let's recap what we did. Today's our third day. The first day we basically went through a general Hatama Tekinas. And we began to go over the Seder Halayla. And then yesterday we discussed, I don't remember what we were doing, well, we discussed, today's our fourth day. Today's our fourth day already. Wow, time flies. Today is our fourth day. What we've done so far is we've gone through a Hadama, the Seder Halayla, with the Kinos of the night, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. And of course, before that we said Eicha. Then we went through the Seder Hayoim in the morning of Tisha B'Av, and Kriya Satoira. And after Kriya Satoira, we've discussed the first Kina of the day, Kina Vav. We discussed the unique features of Kina Vav. Obviously, there's a lot more to discuss, but I don't know all the secrets. That's an understatement, and we have to go forward. So now we'll go up to Kina Zayin. Okay, the second Kina of the day is Kina Zayin, which begins with the words Eicha Atzta V'Yapecha L'Abed B'Yad Adonim Emunecha. This Kina is arranged as many of the Kinas according to the letters of the Aleph Beis. This Kina is arranged by the Kalir. 21 of the 45 kinas were composed by the Kalir, and most of those kinas appear in the first half of the kinas of the morning. The last tzioins were not composed by the Kalir. Those are more modern kinas. Depending, somewhere in the 13th century, the 14th century, I think even one in the 15th century, perhaps. And of course, we have the kina, and that we have in that section there in the middle, for some reason, is inserted the kina of the Meir Mirandenberg. Okay, you have another one? Okay, of Meir Mirandenberg, the Maram Mirandenberg, he composed the Kina Shali Serufa Ba'esh, mourning over the Srefa Satar, which took place Erev Shabbos Parsha Skukas in the year 1242, which we once spoke about at length. And so those Kinas obviously are not from Rabbi Yehuda HaKalir, those are Kinas from later Paikonim. But many of the kinas that we learn in the beginning of the kinas are earlier kinas from Rabbi Elozer HaKalir. And here we have a typical kina from Rabbi Elozer HaKalir where he demonstrates an easy kina. This is not a hard kina. Kina Vav is you have to break your teeth. Kina Vav, like I told you yesterday, really kina Vav is really 24 mini kinas. Each paragraph is a kina.
22.
What? Because there are 24 sections. They're the 14 letters of the Aleph Beis and the last 8 letters of the Aleph Beis. We discussed this yesterday. Kina Vav, we only present from letter Samach to the end of the Aleph Beis. The last 8 letters of the Aleph Beis. The first 14 letters of the Aleph Beis appear, I think only 20, you say, you want to write 24, I said, right, I made a mistake, there's only 22, but there's another paragraph at the end. There's a paragraph at the end which sums it up, okay, his initials, Elazar, correct. So, the Kina Vav is a very difficult Kina, and you have to look at Kina Vav really as 22 mini Kinas. Each paragraph is a Kina in and of itself. Is a unique theme describing something different than the next paragraph. And we showed in the last 8 letters, which is the kina that we actually say, are describing 7, or really 8 different eras in Jewish history. The era of the Mishkan, the era of Gilgal, where the Mishkan was established for 14 years during the conquest and division of the land, and the era of Shiloh, which lasted for 369 years, and the era of Noiv and Givon, each one in and of itself, I don't think we know exactly how long each one stood, but together it was 57 years, Noiv and Givon. And then the era of the Bayis Rishon, 410 years, and the era of the Bayis Sheni, 420 years. And then our generation, or really each generation can reflect on the last section which describes the era, why hasn't the Beis HaMikdash been rebuilt? Every generation which fails to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, it's as if that generation destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So there's something to focus on, to reflect on. So there are many kinos, and the Kalir does this. The Kalir does this, and this is something to pay attention to. And I'll show you in other kinos as well. With a Kalir, when you look at a kin that was written by the Kalir, it's not one describing one particular element. He very often takes to kufas, generations of Jewish history, and describes it with certain terms. And then he moves on to the next generation. And the next generation is unique. It all has a basic similarity. There's obviously a similarity in what he's trying to do, but each section is presenting a unique era. And this Kina Zion, it appears to be more of a general Kina, but it's awesome. It's just magnificent how he is able. He demonstrates his mastery, his fluency in the Hebrew language, where he constructs sentences, complete sentences, where each word begins with the same letter. And the sentences, you know, a person who has talent, maybe you can make one sentence, you can write two sentences, three sentences, but to write an entire kina, and every single line is perfect, and is powerful, and eloquent, and every word is precise, and every word of that sentence begins with the same letter of the Aleph Beis. And then the next sentence moves on to the next letter, and the next letter, and to go perfectly through the entire Aleph Beis. This is not human. This is beyond, this is incredible. This is like Ruach HaKodesh. Eicha, how Hashem can you have? Of course, taking from Eicha, Atzta. How are you, why were you in a rush, Hashem? V'yapecha, in your anger, La'abed, to destroy, Biyad, through Adoimim, Edoim. This would seem to be referring to the Bayis Sheni. Okay, the Tkuv of the Bayis Sheni. And Munecha, Klal Yisrael, who are described as your faithful servants. V'loi Zocharta. And you did not remember the Bris Ben Abesorim Asher Berarta, which you selected. Live Chunecha, for those who you've tested. Referring, of course, to Avraham, who Hashem tested with the 10 Nisyonos. You selected for him a Bris Ben Abesorim. Yeah, well, we'll finish up. Uvechein, therefore, Bitinu. And in our frustration, we express, there are many different words for dibur here, bitinu, we express to you, zechor Hashem mehoilon, remember Hashem, what has happened to us, and our rahmanis. And there are many, look at, in this one paragraph, there's a certain theme which repeats itself 22 times. And besides the fact that we have taken here the first two letters of the Aleph Beis, we have the first line are all Alephs, the second line are all Beises. There's another theme of where we start off with a complaint, Eicha, how could this be? We then express an idea of, you fail to remember, Zechira. We have a mitzvah to remember certain things, the Sheish Zechiras, to remember Matan Torah, to remember Amalek, to remember what happened to Miriam. Okay, there are six zechiras. The word zechira is a very powerful word in and of itself. And the next theme that appears here in this paragraph is a unique word to describe man's ability to express himself. I'll take a question 1 second, Mr. Klein. Man's ability to express himself. What I mean by that is, this is a very important concept. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, everyone always says this, when it says in the pasuk, "Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayim," the climax of creation was man. The whole world was created for man. And when Hashem finally came to create man, and it describes that moment, "Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chayim," man came into this world as a living creature. How do we translate those words? Certainly, if you go look in any translation will translate "Vayihi ha'adam." This is the purpose. This is the climax. This is the goal. Man was as a nefesh chaya, a soul that is alive, a living creature. And yet the Targum, very shockingly, he doesn't translate that. That's not what he translates. Vayehi ha'adam, man was, l'ruach mimalala, a creature that speaks, a man who communicates, a man who expresses himself. The Targum Onkelos is telling us the essence of life is the ability to communicate. To communicate. Now the big question is, at this moment in time, when Adam was created, who was he communicating with? Chava did not yet exist. So there was no woman to communicate with. And there are animals, we have a right to assume man does not speak to animals. No, animals don't speak. Animals are not called medaber. Maybe you'll tell me, I know all these midrashim that animals have their own language.
Talking to them, not that they
But you don't talk to animals, okay? We don't communicate, we don't share, you know, they're not our friends on Facebook, animals. You never saw an animal like you. Maybe I'm not. There really are animals that are on Facebook, but seriously, so who was man communicating with? So this is a good question. Rav Shimon Schwab asks this question. He gives two answers. One answer is he was communicating with Hashem. The form of expression of the original of the Adam Arishon was to the Ruach Memal was to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to talk to himself. Okay, talk to yourself. Communicate with yourself.
Did the snake speak?
Sorry?
Did the snake speak?
You're asking good. You're asking a good question. We do find that the Nachash spoke, the Chava. That's right. Okay, it's a good question. But from our perspective, I don't know the answer. But Bederech Chlal, we talk about the man was a creature who communicated. This is the essence of life. The ability to express yourself, to communicate. This kina is amazing, because in this kina, every single paragraph, stanza, concludes with a different word of expression. Uvechein bitinu, uvechein dibarnu, uvechein vekoinanu, uvechein chivinu, means to speak. Chava is called Chava Miloshim Divo. Uvechein Yolalnu, Uvechein Lohavnu, Uvechein Ohin. Every single expression here concludes with another expression of communication, of life. And we use the Kalir as taking this koyach of man, this unique koyach of man of expression, and it's weaponized it. He's weaponized it against Hashem. Hashem, how can you do this to us? How can you have forgotten all of the glorious moments we go through over here, all these glorious moments of Jewish history, about the Beis HaMikdash, Nasa V'Nishma, the Bris Ben Abesorim, okay? We go through many different examples. Oh, excellent. How you took the words out of my mouth. Okay. So that's Rav Kalman is touching upon another motif in this kina. Besides the Aleph base, besides the theme of Zechira, besides the theme of expression, there's another thing that the Kalir is doing, and that is each line concludes with the word Uvichein. Every single day, three times a day, we say Al Kain Mekave Lecha Hashem Elokein. What does that mean? Therefore, well, let's hold the thought for a moment. Benois Tzalafchat. They wanted to have a chelik in the land. What did Hashem say? Kain Benois Tzalafchat Dovers.
Yofa Dibartan.
Sorry?
Yofa Dibartan.
Yofa Dibartan. Kain. The word there is Kain. Okay, we say of Kalman mentioned, but Kalman is about Musaf. He took note of the Musaf, the Shmoneh Esher, the Yamin Yom, Uvechein Tein Pachtecha, Uvechein Tein Kovo Li Amecha, Uvechein, what's the third Uvechein?
Uvechein
Tzadikim Yiru Vi Yismachu. Okay, we have the word, we use the word v'chein in our liturgy, we use the v'chein in Megillas Esther. You say Megillas Esther, v'chein ovoi el hamelech asher loy chados, v'chasher v'alti avadati. When Aaron lit the menorah for the very first time, what does it say? It says, v'yas kein Aaron. Helo nerosach. The very first time he said, he lit the menorah, it says, v'yas kein. But it's one place where the word Cain is missing. Rashi points this out. Missing. And that is in Maaseh Bereishis. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Or. What does it say?
Vayehi
Or. Every other day. Vayoymer Elokim Tadshe Haaretz Deshe. Vayehi Chayim. Vayoymer Elokim Yikavu Hamayim. Vayehi Chayim. Go through all 6 days of Maaseh Bereishis, every single time Hashem gave a command, it says, Vayihi Chayim. The only time where the word Chayim is missing is on day one. Where Hashem says, Vayom Elokim Yihi Or, it doesn't say, Vayihi Chayim. All it says is, Vayihi Or. Vayihi Or. What happened to the consistency of Vayihi Chayim? So Chazal say, Rashi says, Hashem, the reason why he doesn't say Vayihi Chayim is because Hashem, when he created the Or, he saw that the Or is so good. This world does not deserve it. You don't deserve such good Or. So Hashem took the Or and put it away in the Beis HaGniza for the Tzadikim La'asimara. So that's why the word Cain does not, it does not appear by Or. Revelation, light. Doesn't appear. When Aaron lit the menorah, he lit the menorah, the or ha-menorah, vayas kein Aaron. This would be, it's not my fault, this would be a farshu say, vayas kein Aaron, he lit the menorah, he brought the hashlama. He was a partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Maaseh Bereishis, to bring about that light. Esther Hamalka, when she was mispalel to Hashem, uvechein ovoya lamelech. Hashem, I'm coming here to partner with you. When you created this world, Vayom Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or, doesn't say Cain, Vayihi Cain. We have a Haman, an Achashverosh, there's a Gezerah, there's Choyshech in the world. Esther came to beg Hashem, Uvechein Ovoy El HaMelech. I'm coming here to beg of you, Hashem, to bring the Or of Torah, the Or of Geula, your revelation. Every single day, what we say, Al Kain Nikav Elecha. It doesn't just mean therefore. Al, with regard to our desire to witness Vayihi Chayim, we yearn for you, Hashem.
I wrote here about this thing, the combination of Esther and the Tfilah Shel Noraim. Uvechein has different meaning, a few meanings. Number one is Lashon Hachana. First 3 days, Uvechein, Bahachana, with this Hachana, Ani Avoy Lamech.
With this.
וגם אנחנו באים לקדוש ברוך הוא, because we had a certain age of mind, we had all these things, ובכן, because Cain is also, yes, I'm going to do it. Cain is also a base. אנחנו בני אברהם, יצחק ויעקב. She is בת מלך. Not, that's not this. I'm going because I have my predecessors. I have a basis. שאני יכולה לבוא עם המלך, who is he and who am I? ובכן צדיקים, ובכן, that's why I've been saying, if you, ובכן, I don't know.
Three times, I think it's only, so four, it's three or four right now.
Cain
Coven. In the beginning there are three right away.
There's different meanings.
Yeah, there are many meanings. So here we come out with
us.
Cain is a bear. There are many meanings to Cain. So that's part of the motif of this schema, Uvechein.
So we are allowed to speak here
because
of that.
Because of it.
We are allowed to speak to our mouth.
Okay, beautiful.
There's also the 7 and 8. Every first line is 7 words, and every second line is 8 words.
Oh, I know that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, he brings the article says that everyone has 5 repetitions of the hours and the days.
Well, so where do you get 7 and 8 then?
No, it's like this. You have, everyone has in it
a meter.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 and 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Repeat.
Repeat with 6.
It says
it's 5 and 6.
It says
it's 5 and 6.
Asher.
Right. It's 5 and 6. It's the first line is Asta, Apecha, Abe, Adonin,
and 5.
And 6 sheets of the Mishnah.
Right.
5, 6. 5, 6. 5.
7 because the line has another word. The second word,
Asher.
You know.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but no, but you go to the next letter, you have to need the letters of the Aleph base. Because I think it's always 5 and 6. The numbers always follow 5. Okay, so this is a. Yeah.
I don't understand what the Kalim mean with that Hashem rushed. Hashem waited 200 years until he finally decided.
You asked me a good question. Why is he saying Atzta? I guess from our. Okay. You asked me a good question. You know, in the Holocaust, we once discussed the Holocaust. What is the word. You asked me a good question. You're saying something very interesting. What does it mean to be Russian? Well, let me give you an example. Well, let's take this as the baseline. 9/11. What was the word that was thrown around a billion times? Ground zero. Did you ever hear the term ground zero before 9/11?
Yes.
I never heard that before. It was a new term. I never, someone would tell me the day before 9/11, what does it mean, ground zero? I don't know. I have no idea what it means. I don't know.
The
location. Okay. So I was not aware of that word. I think most people never heard the term ground zero, unless you're in the military. I guess there were times in history, World War II, people knew this term. I'd never heard this term. But after 9/11, it became the new buzzword. It actually was the word of the year. Every year there was a certain word of the year, like quarantine. That's not such a fancy word, but the COVID, quarantine, you know? The only reason why they called Newshell ground zero for the virus was because of 9/11. Because 9/11, the term ground zero became a buzzword and became the word of the year, so ground zero. What is
it? Excuse me, Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
I believe, as you said before, I believe during World War II, when the U.S. dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the terms may have been used as ground zero.
Okay, that's what I said, right, that's what I said, right, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, but I personally was not familiar with this term, and I think many people that I know, also, you know, people my age, who never heard the term before. Baruch Hashem, we were zoicha to live in good times. We were not, did not serve, you know, and witness these things. So we never, okay, no, fine, no problem. Now, I'm going to use this as an example. Now, here comes the question. What was the code, the word of the Holocaust? What was the word of the Holocaust that was used the most often during the Holocaust? Schnell. Schnell. That word was heard a million times. Whenever a Nazi appeared, what word came out of his mouth? Schnell, schnell. Go here, go there, move. You do this, you do that. Schnell, 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 schnell. Talk to Holocaust survivors. They're going to tell you the word schnell rings in their head. It rings in their head, that word. You can't get that word. Hearing a Nazi say schnell, 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 schnell. Okay, fine. It's part of Blitzkrieg, part of the whole approach. So, Mr. Klein, you're asking the question: what does it mean over here? The word "atzta." Good. So, this comes to mind: is a Holocaust survivor will tell you the word that boomerangs in their mind is the word "schnell." So, when you say here "echa atzta v'apecha," how Hashem did you rush in your anger? It's true, it didn't happen right away. Hashem has a lot of patience. V'noshantem ba'aretz. 850 years from the time we came into Eretz Yisrael. 850, Hashem had a lot of patience. But when it happened 1, 2, 3. Okay, it happened 1, 2, 3. And it's frightening. It's frightening. Okay, your question is better than the answer, but my, and I'm sorry, you're right, your question is better than the answer, but okay, we'll bring that up. So again, this kina, kina Zion, is a magnificent kina. This kina really, it's just amazing how the Kalir has combined so many different things in this kina. The letters of the Aleph is, the motif of Zechira, all of the highlights of Jewish history, the Bris Ben Absarim, Kfitza Saderech, Aliyah L'Regel, Matan Torah, Kanfei Nesharim, Nasa V'Nishma. He's put together all of these things. He's also expressed the Koyach HaDibur expression. We live in a generation now where a few people who have more power than many governments put together have decided to suppress the Koyach HaDibur. Okay? You'll say, what does that do with us? What is, so who cares? So who cares? What do I do? By the way, you know, I'm sure many of you know Abramson. What is his name? Rabbi Dr. Henry?
Harry Abramson? Yeah, Hillel.
Hill Abramson. He's an
professor.
Rabbi Mayeski introduced me to him. And he is just awesome, beyond awesome. He gives his very famous also for giving the historical lessons on the Daf Yomi, the Aguda's website. All that.
2 years he started doing it. Yeah.
On there, they have a website, they have an app called All Daf, where they have a very, very wide spectrum of Magide Shir, plus different Iyun, all different things, different dimensions of the Daf. And he gives a very fascinating little segment. It's very, very short, 2-3 minutes of like a historical facts on every single daf. This daf, you know, he tells you something historical about the daf that's mentioned in the Daf Yomi. So he gives lectures all over the world, and he recently gave some lectures about anti-Semitism. So YouTube, and he posts all of his lectures online.
That,
YouTube decided to take down, to censor, to silence Hillel, Rabbi Dr. Hillel Abramson, for his, and they took down his lecture on anti-Semitism.
Why?
Because obviously they have
listed on the hate speech.
Yeah, hate speech. You hear such a thing?
Why, who does he hate?
People
he hates no one. They hate him. The koyach of silencing, living in a generation of where a few people on their own can silence man's koyach hadibur.
That's what Trump is doing.
Trump is probably the legend. I mean, the president of the United States, the sitting president of the United States, who has how many millions of people did he have following him? To silence him? It's utterly shocking. Sitting president, he wasn't removed from office. The sitting president, to silence the sitting president, are you talking such a thing? Koyach HaDibur is the essence of man. Vayehi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, l'ruach minalma. When you silence someone, you're murdering them, in essence. The Koyach HaDibur. You're murdering the person. You're taking away the Koyach HaDibur. So you'll say, listen, mind your own business. You sit, put your head in the Daf Gemara. And who cares about Trump? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? Let me give you a marshal of something that I read in the Sefer Nevar Chasher Rashiva. Yoyna ben Amitai, we learned Yoyna once upon a time. He went on a ship and he set sail. And all of a sudden there was a storm. And the ship was threatened. Chazal said, who else was on the ship? Who bought a ticket on this ship? Chazal said there were 70 people on the ship. Every person came from a different nationality. There were people on the ship that represented every single one of the Umay Soilah. There are 70 nations in this world. There was a person there who, a hush of a person, representing every single one of the Umay Sa'ilah. And when the storm began and the ship was threatened, the first person to jump up and say, Bishvili! The reason why this is happening is because of me. You? Who are you, Yonah? You're one of 70. There are 70 nationalities over here. Maybe there's some world war going on between a couple of the countries over here and the people over here on board the ship. They're in a lot of trouble for what's going on, what they're doing to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now, he wants to capsize the ship because there's something going on. Who do you think you are to say that Bishvili, the reason why the ship is about to sink is because of me? You're just one person, you're just one nationality. You're the smallest nation in the world. There are 15 million Jews in the world, and there are 7.5 billion people in this world. You're such a baldiver to think, Bishvili? And the answer is yes. That's exactly the point. Everything that happens in this world is because of Klal Yisrael. It sounds like we're elitist. That's right, we are. That's right, be proud of it. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. It's because of me. There may be 7.5 billion people in this world. I represent a teeny fraction, but you know why this ship is in danger? It's because of me. If we see in this world, there is a koyach of silencing man's koyach ha'dibur, it's because of us. And even though Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, doesn't seem that what's going on in the world has much to do with us, okay, a little thing here, a little thing there, but Bederach Klal, it's not about us. Chasdei Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Alavai Vayder, Hashem is speaking to us. Hashem is speaking to us through what he's doing to the Umay Sa'olam. Does it sound like we're elitist? Well, we sure are. Don't be ashamed. Don't be influenced of what's going on in the world of not being permitted to be socially, being politically correct in who's better, who's worse. We say in davening, be proud. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'am. Hashem has selected us. We are the Am HaNivchar, and Hashem is speaking to us. And if in this Welt there is, like never before, a koyach of silencing, Bishvili Nivra Olam. That's right. We have to pay attention to what's going on. In this kina, we use our koyach adibur. Okay, let's now go to the next kina. Running out of time very quickly. Kina ches. Kina ches represents a theme of frustration. It represents, I don't know, there must be some psychological terms for this, terms in the world of psychology, as we are a person, like people, we always, what could have been? Could have been, should have been, would have been. You live in the past. You live in the past and you reflect, if only I didn't make that mistake. If only I didn't drive down that block. If only I didn't do this, I didn't do that. What could have been, what should have been? That's one theme that's presented here. And just the longing, the pain of waiting. There's one line of the year which I think, you know, reflects very much which what happened towards the end, which such one idea really, really jumped out at me about what happened in Miami, Florida. The Champlain Towers in Miami, Florida collapsed. It's a horrible tragedy. Many people lost their lives. And amongst those people who lost their lives were many who are from Achenu B'nai Yisrael. And here it says, Eta Ohole Apadne. I pitched my tent, B'Tzalmonis, in the shadow of death. Otusa V'Eshkoina Ad Chatzar Moris. If only I could fly and find rest in the courtyard of death. Hear these words, which really are very frightening. Etofel es hamechakim lamoves. I would associate with those who are waiting for death. What does this mean? Does it mean that a person is waiting to die? A person who's on death row? Then it should say hamechakim amachakim lomus. Hey, I'm not sure with the grammatical form, but in the context of what happened, can you imagine the people, the families, the people who lost their relatives? What are they waiting for? They're waiting to hear that they found the body. They have not yet begun to sit shiva. And one day passes, another day passes. The inu hadin is could destroy you. A person needs closure.
Originally, there was hope that it was from you.
There was hope, and then as they look at the next line. The next line is, en he, I would cry, mi gever yichye velo yire moves. Can the person survive this? Can the person survive a building collapsing upon him and not see death? And yet, the relatives, they're sitting there in the chatzar moves, in the apadne of tzal moves, and they're waiting, they're being mechake, ha-mechakem la-moves, to wait and wait and wait for the search crews to return. Did you find something? Did you not find something? Why aren't you going fast enough? What could we do? Who can come help? The inui hadin can destroy you, can consume you. This is a dimension of atzara that is very unusual. A horrific thing, rachmana litzlan, when there's tragedy, but in a tragedy like this where you have to wait and wait and wait, it's horrible. And then the kalir goes further to say, basically, this is a dogma of the tsar of Klal Yisrael. We're waiting for Mashiach. Eyalusi li ezrosi tarti chazois, my strength, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, le ezrosi. We're waiting, tarti means I wait, I seek, I yearn his assistance, his salvation. I yearn to witness, to see his salvation. Eyalusi li ezrosi, Hashem, who is Hashem, to whom I yearn, Tarti Chazos, I yearn to see him come to my aid. It's the same expression. We are obligated, we should feel towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same type of tsar that these families are feeling towards the relatives, the longing, the waiting, that pain. My nation every year says, oh, it has to be, Mashiach has to come. It has to come. I make it known to all that it is certainly universally known, such an experience can only come from HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so that's really the theme, the motif of this keynote. Many different examples of this type of yearning, of waiting for, waiting, the pain of waiting and the pain of challenging yourself of, if only I have done things differently, I would be in a much better situation. Kino Yud. Kino test. Yeah? Right, this also is a letter. This also is a letter of the Aleph. Right. It's also in the order of the Aleph is. Correct. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Kina test. Kina test is the kina that touches upon the toichecha. The toichecha begins in Bichukot Saite Lechu. Rashi says, Im Yihu Amelim the Torah. This, the toichecha begin, the first come the brachas. And the brachas direct us to toil in the study of Torah. And if you do so, you will merit incredible blessing, enormous blessing. And Rachmana Litzlan V'im B'chukosai Tim Asu, if you fail to study, to embrace Torah, then Rachmana Litzlan goes through the 45 klolois of the Toichacha. This really is one of the most essential kinos of the day, because the Toichacha and the Amelus of Torah is what it says in the Haftarah. The Haftarah, Hashem asked the question, why did Hashem bring the Churban? This question was asked to the Nevi'im, was asked to the Chachamim, to the Malachim, and no one knew the answer until Hashem says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is because Al ozvam es toirasi. You have abandoned my Torah. Sheloi berachoi ba Torah tefila. You did not make a bracha before the study of Torah. In other words, you don't appreciate the value of limud haTorah. This year is 3,333 years since Matan Torah. Mr. Marillis, what is the significance of the number 3,333? We need a better answer than that. There must be some major significance. It's been 3,003. Hashem says, you abandoned my Torah. Im ozvam es Torasi. I gave you the Torah 3,333 years ago. What happened to you? It's interesting. The number, go through each number by itself. The number 3,000. The number 3,000, where do we find the number 3,000? When Moshe Rabbeinu died, it says in Chazal, Klal Yisrael forgot in the days of Avelos 3,000 halachos. They forgot 3,000 simonim in Shulchan Aruch. Asniel ben Kenaz restored them through pilpul, through analysis, through halachic analysis, through effort. He restored 3,000 halachas. Shloima HaMelech, when the Torah, the end of Mishnah, where it describes his accomplishments, he composed 3,000 mishalim. Chazal said, what does it mean he composed 3,000 mishalim? On every single word of Torah, he composed 3,000 chidush. So you see the number 3,000, it very much connects to Torah. What's, why 3,000? I don't know. But you see, there are already two makaris. When you forget Torah, 3,000. Yasnil ben Kenaz restored the number 3,000. Shloima HaMelech's accomplishments is described in composing 3,000 ideas on every single word of the Torah. What does the number 300 refer to? On your tefillin. On your tefillin, you have the letter Shin. What is the letter Shin 300? What does the tefillin represent? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olech. 30. What is 30? Malchus. When you declare Hashem Melech, how many tekiyas do you blow to declare Hashem's Malchus? 30 sounds. How many psukim do you recite in Rosh Hashanah in the Musaf? 30 psukim. How old was Yosef HaTzadik when he became the Mishnah LeMelech? 30 years old. The number 30 is always associated with Malchus. 3, it's a Gemara. The Gemara is Hashem gave a riddle. Hashem gave a Torah that's broken into 3 parts. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, to a nation that has 3 parts. Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. On the 3rd month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan.
Rabbi, 300 happens to be also a marshal, the Guzmut. You use a lot of time for a Guzmut, 300 this, 300
okay,
that.
There are many, but let's focus on the 300s that have relevance to Torah, okay, in the Hanami. And the number, so Hashem gave the Torah 3 parts, Torah and Ksuvim to a nation of 3, Kohanim, Mishal, Levim, 2 on the third, on the third month, through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third born. Moshe was the third born. Moshe
of the third
of Levi of Reuven Shimon Levi. Very good, Reuven Shimon Levi. Moshe was the third born. And okay, the Gemara it will. So the number 3 very much relates to Torah. You have all these 3s of Torah. Torah is man malke. Avram to a nation, descendants of the 3 of us. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's 3. So look at all the 3s. 3,000 represents accomplishment of Torah. What's the Torah? Person who possesses Torah is Malchus, Man Malke Rabbanon. A person who has Torah is a Yerei Shemayim. The Tafkid of Leman Yiru, the purpose of Matan Torah was to fear. Moshe said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're terrified. Hashem says, excellent. Halavai, they should remain in a matzav of being afraid of me. The Tafkid of Torah is Yerei Shemayim. And Torah, the Chazal themselves say it's all about the number 3. So here we are, 3,333 years since Matan Torah, and Hashem is saying to us, you know why you're still in Golas? Al ozvam es Torah. You abandoned my Torah. this year, those these words sting like never before. These words were said every year. But this year, it really hurts. How could it be that we today are living in Golos? We today are persecuted. We have a lot of problems, you know? We got to watch our back. It's not so simple. And Hashem tells us why. Al Alzam Esterasi. 3,333 years, that's a very powerful number. A number that should wake us up when we come to the kina of acknowledging, connecting ourselves to the Toichicha, clearly, which is the essence of the day, which is defined in the beginning and the end, in Bichukor Saite Lechu Imiyu Amelim B'Torah.
Don't you think nowadays the trend is increasing in American
terms? Obviously, but we're still in Golos. There's no question about it.
Maybe there's something wrong with it. I don't know, but I mean, to me,
There is no question about it. There's an incredible increase, but it was still Golos. The proof is in the pudding. Why are we still in Golos? With all of the look at this wall of Svarim in front of us, with all of the accomplishments of Torah, there is no question that Klal Yisrael is thriving like never before.
Yeshivas
are booming, and Klal Yisrael is thriving, and there is Chesed Yerushalayim. There's a Sheifa to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're not there yet.
Don't forget there's a vast loss of Jews who are intermarrying and
okay, but you should know
leaving.
That's true, but you should know that is, are they responsible for the Guhu? Okay, this is a very controversial topic. Who is to blame that Mashiach is not here today? Let's make believe numbers. There are 15 million Jews in this world, approximately. No one really knows that. Just make up numbers. 15 million
maybe
Jews.
Maybe 10% or 15% of Shomer
Shabbos. So make believe there are 3 million Jews that are with the program. With the program, Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. They appreciate their Judaism. They give to the UJA. Good 3 million. What about the other? What about the other 12 million Jews? So who's to blame for Mashiach not coming? The other 12? No, I don't think so. Many will say no. They're out of the equation. They're Jews. We pray for them to return. We have an obligation to bring them back. 100%. But who is to blame as to why Mashiach has not come? The 12 million, the 3 million? The 3 million. They don't know better. It's not their fault. Tinek Shenishba. It's not, they don't know. It's not their fault. How could you blame them? We know better. We have the books. We know what it says. We know better. We are the ones that have the obligation, the 3 million Jews who appreciate and value their Judaism and have on their consciousness that there's something called Mashiach. And Mashiach is dependent on our teshuva and Ma'asim Tovim. We are to blame. They're not to blame. Right? L'chor, that's Poshet. Okay, we're not writing them off, but they're not to blame.
We are learning Torah, we're keeping the mitzvahs.
So why has the Mashiach come? Where is only Hashem knows. Only Hashem knows.
Everyone knows.
Everyone in this room knows where their weaknesses lie. And everyone knows what they need to do to bring Mashiach. And if enough of us would actually do what we need to do, Mashiach would come. It's because collectively, even though Baruch Hashem, we have accomplished things that are beyond belief, there's still more that needs to be done to bring Mashiach. The Mashiach is near. It's a problem. Okay, let's go further. Now let's go to the next kina. Moving ahead, that's the Teichecha. That's kina yud. It's a very hard kina. That's Teichecha. Then comes to what everyone will tell you is the most important kina of the day is Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Yoshio. The Maisa with Yoshio. Yoshio, he lived right before the Korban, 22 years before the God. He was king for 31 years. He was king for 31 years. He became king when he was 8 years old. And the first 8 years of his malchus until he was 16 years old, nothing seemed to happen. It seems that Klal Yisrael were thoroughly ignorant of their heritage, all thanks to Menashe and Omon. Menashe was here for 55 years, Omon was here for 2 years, and they introduced idolatry in the Klal Yisrael. They put an Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and they basically wiped out, they eradicated Yadus, Judaism, from the Jews. They knew from nothing. They didn't even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. The day came, they did renovation of the Beis HaMikdash, and they discovered a Sefer Torah. It was over to the Torah that predicted that the Melech would go into Golus. That sparked a hearer of Teshuvah in the heart of Yoshiyahu, and with him he launched the greatest and most successful Baal Teshuvah movement in the history of Klal Yisrael, where he brought the nation to a point where he believed they were on the verge of being Mekabel Pnei Melech HaMashiach. And then Vayihi Chayom gets a phone call from Paro Necho of Egypt, asking permission to let his planes fly over the airspace of the Jewish people so they can go to Karkemish to do war, to engage in some war games with Ashur. And what happened? Yeshayahu said, let me consult with my prophets. He gets on the green phone, and the green phone tells him, let them go. Let them travel through the land. Yoshio was shocked. What do you mean? It says in the Torah, V'lo cherev lo savor bi'artzachem, afilu cherev shel sholem. So Yirmiyahu says, I'm sorry to tell you, even though to you it appears that the Jewish people are behaving, they're doing the Shomer Torah mitzvahs, I work for the NSA and the CIA, and we do surveillance, and we can tell you that we hack into all of the cameras in their home. We have access to the Amazon, special access to all the cameras, and we know what's going on behind closed doors. And behind closed doors, they're doing things that are not correct. They're not where they're holding, where you think they're holding, and therefore it would be very wise of you to let Paro Necho peacefully pass through your land to go wage war in Karkemish. Yoshio was insulted. This is my project. This Baal Teshuva movement, this is my legacy. I took Klal Yisrael from nothing. I brought them to this moment. V'cherev lo savor ba'aretzachem. Yirmiyahu, you are dismissed. I will not accept your answer. And he told Paro Necho, don't you dare enter our land. It's times of Mashiach. And in times of Mashiach, the Torah says, V'cherev lo savor bi'artzachem. Paro Necho says, Yoshiyahu, come on. Don't you know who I am? I'm Putin. You don't say no to the KGB. You don't say no to the KGB. You know. Behave yourself. Why should I have to go and hack your system, shut down your country, make trouble for you? Just play along with me. I'll be good to you, you'll be good to me. Don't give me this Mashiach business. Yoshio said, test me. And that was a mistake. Paro Necho entered with his army. Yoshio went out to stop him. They shot into his body 300 arrows. All of this is spelled out explicitly in the Kina. They shot into his body 300 arrows. He was bleeding out. Yirmiyahu came to rush to listen to his last dying words. What would you expect him to say? You'd expect him to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? Tfilah Shchiv Meira. That's not what he said. He said, Hashem hu hatzadik, ani ve'ani harashoim. That's not what you'd expect him to say. Did you ever hear someone say these words? It's Shema Yisrael. He was acknowledging his very last moments that Yirmiyahu was correct. And he rebelled against the Navi, which is a very serious offense.
Rabbi, by the way, excuse me, was this also a Kuzma 300?
I do not know. I do not know. That's what it says in the Kina. That's what it says in Chazal. They shot into him 300 arrows. It says also by the Asora Haruge Malchus, Bob and Buta. They shot into his body 300 arrows. Okay? He died. Okay, the, what's the lesson? So there are a lot of lessons which we have to go further. The lesson that I really want to focus, I like that appeals to me at this moment, is the theme of describing Hashem as a tzaddik. Okay, there are a million things. You go listen to Darshan and Tisha B'Av, there's not a single Darshan that will not discuss this kina. And I will tell you, this is the most important kina, because the kina was composed by another, by Yirmiyahu. This is Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu lamented, he delivered the eulogy, and he expressed all of these things describing the greatness. And this was the beginning of the Chorban. From this was the beginning of the Chorban. When Yoshio died, it was all downhill for the next 22 years until the Chorban happened. And there are numerous themes, but one theme that is very, one of the many themes is the concept of describing Hashem as a tzaddik. Now, what does that mean, Hashem is a tzaddik? Typically, who's a tzaddik? Noach is a tzaddik. Yosef is a tzaddik. Avimelech calls himself a tzaddik. Paro calls himself a tzaddik. Avimelech Paro. Hagoy gam tzaddik Paro. Are you going to kill?
By who?
Avimelech Paro.
By Sodom.
No. Hagoy gam tzaddik Taharo.
Oh,
Avimelech. Avimelech's a tzaddik. So the answer is very simple. A tzaddik is someone who is oimei. There are many meanings of a tzaddik. There are many applications. But one of the primary uses, in order to deserve the title of tzaddik, you have to be oimed in a nisoyon. Noach, the whole world was against him. One man against the whole world. Noach, what are you doing here? I'm building a teva. A teva? Why? Hashem's going to destroy the world. Really? Really? Wow. Hashem's going to destroy. Why? Because you're all a bunch of ganavim. Ki hishchas kol haaretz. Really, really, no. Have a nice day. The whole world thought he was nuts. He was the Noach motzo chein b'nei Hashem. The world was corrupt. Ki hishchis kol basar darkei al aretz. How can one man go against the whole world? How can one man hold on to his beliefs, his morals, his values against the whole world? That's a nesoyon. He was oimed in a nesoyon. Yosef, Eishes Potiphar. She drove him crazy. Chazal described what she did to him. How could Yosef survive the nisayon of Eishes Potiphar? He did. That's why he's called a tzaddik. Avimelech said, I may not be a tzaddikal, but I did not touch Sarah. I had a yetzahara for Sarah, but I held myself back. Hagoy gam tzaddik tarek. I held myself back. I didn't do anything to Sarah. I didn't touch her. I'm a tzaddik. I had an nisayon. That's right. I'm called a tzaddik. So how do you call Hashem a tzaddik? Hashem has nisayonis? What kind of nisayonis does Hashem have? He has a nisayon? The answer is yeah, Hashem has a nisayon. You find this in the Gemara Moms of the Brachis. It's the famous song of Avraham Fried. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shmuel. Pamachas nechnasti lefnai v'lefnim v'reisi. I saw Hashem. I saw the Shekhinah. And Hashem said to me, Yishmael b'ni, barcheini, give me a bracha. Give me a bracha. What was the bracha? He got said, Lufna Hashem lokeinu. She yichvosh rachamecha eskas. V'yogoyl rachamecha l'vidasecha. Hashem has a nesoyim. Hashem's kas, his anger, Hashem wants to destroy us for our sins. And Hashem is oimed in the nisayon, and he allows his rachamim to overcome the kas. But sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes Hashem wants to have rachmanis upon us. But that's not to our benefit. Mizmor lo'osaf, bohu goyim benachal osech. Hashem really wanted to preserve the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to save the Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem knew if he would save the Beis HaMikdash, what would happen? Ultimately, he would pour out his anger upon us. So Hashem was oimed in that nisayon, and instead he poured out the anger on the Beis HaMikdash to save us. Hashem has dilemmas. Kaviyach. Hashem, Midas Hadin would demand, in certain situations, that Hashem would love the Beis HaMikdash. I really want the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not for your benefit. Hashem is a tzaddik. Hashem always makes the right decision.
Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav?
Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Which means Hashem has kaviyochol dilemmas. There's a midas hadin, a midas harachamim, and at times one prevails over the other for whatever the reason is, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides, even though in this situation the right it would appear to our understanding what should be done, but Hashem is oimed out of rachamim. He does the right thing. Hashem is a tzaddik. When Yoshiyahu was makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his life, he was makir tzaddiku Hashem. This is a dogma for us. This is a lot of emuna. Okay, this is the challenge of emuna. That even when things are so difficult, to acknowledge that it's a mizmar la'asaf, not a kina la'asaf. Hashem would very much want to do our what we want. But Hashem, out of rachamim, realizes it's not for your best interest. And that's painful for Hashem, kaviyachol. And Hashem is oimed in that, in the soyoin, and he allows the correct midah to prevail. That's the tzaddik. That's the oimed in the soyoin. Just like we say about Noach and about Yosef, kaviyachol, whatever this means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a tzaddik. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koivish, one midah over another, depending on what is in the ultimate best interest for his children, for Klal Yisrael. Tzaddik hu Hashem, kipil marisi. This is why Yekoyne Yemiel Yoshio. Okay, another kina, running out of time, kina. Kina yud beis, oholi asher ta'afta. Okay, there's another beautiful kina describing zman, time. And there's a motif, we have the letters of the aleph beis here goes backwards. Okay, backwards. Sometimes the Aleph Beis goes forward, sometimes it goes backwards. Here we're going backwards. Here we're describing the Beis HaMikdash with the term called an oihel, a tent. That's one motif. Aleph Beis is another motif, and we have another motif called Lama Lanetzach. Lama Lanetzach is, you know, in the Ma Nishtana we begin Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh. The word Lama and Ma is the same exact word. Lama also is the word Menhei. Hey, man, 45 kololos of the Teichacha, the 45 kinos. Lama, how could you do this to us? How could you allow the Teichacha to be fulfilled? And lonetzach is a very powerful word. How long can we allow this to continue? Okay, that's the main. Then we come to kina yud gimel. Yud gimel, everyone does this. Kinos a koi. We play with the word Eicha. Where is the Koi? We have 12 examples of Koi in the Kalir presents. The Bris Ben Am Besodim Koi Yezaracha, the Akeda, Vani Vahana Nelcha at Koi, Yaakov, Lovan, Yaakov makes Parnas in Koi Soimar, in Koi Yoimar Akudim Yesechorecha. Moshe only kills the Mitzri, Vayif in Koi Vachoi. Birchas Koyhanim Koyse Varuch Es Bnei Yisrael. When it comes to Moshe, recruits Moshe to be the manig Koyse Ma'al Bnei Yisrael. Makas Bechoyrois Koy Amar Hashem Kechetzay Salayla. Matan Torah Koyse Mar Leveis Yaakov Visagei Leveis Yisrael. All of these are presented here in this kina. Koy, the word Eicha is used in the kina in three different ways. Eicha. Eicha Yoshua Bodot. Eicha Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? This is Parashas Devarim. Eicha Esau Levadi. Torchachem Masachem Berivchem. Yirmiyah said. I think Yirmiyah says another Eicha. Yirmiyah. Eicha Hoysa Lezoyna. Okay, we have the word Eicha many places. Eicha. Eicha is an expression of surrender. It's a horrible word. Eicha. What does Eicha connote? How could this be? How could it be? Helplessness. Surrender. Oy vey, what am I going to do now? When you say the word Eicha and you make it into Eikoi, that's life. That's chutzpah. You tie with Hashem. Hashem, excuse me, Eikoi. Where's the koi? This is not surrender. This is gevurah. Pick yourself up out of your pathetic state of feeling bad for yourself and just giving up. Pick yourself up and fight. Go fight. Taina with Hashem. Go to court and say, Bona Shalom, and I'll excuse me and bring you to a din Torah. Hey, Koi, what's going on over here? You're entitled. Fight. It may not neely neely. And guess what? You know what it means also? Ayeka. Hashem's looking for you. Klal Yisrael. Ayeka, where are you? Where did you disappear? I'm looking for you. The goal of this kina is don't feel so bad about yourself. Don't be a nebuch. Don't surrender so quick. Just because it says in Eicha, Eicha, oy vey, what happened? So pick yourself up. Sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kam. Pick yourself up. Have some respect for yourself. Some gaiva de kedusha. Eikoi! Hashem wants that because Hashem is also looking for us. Hashem is saying, Ayeka. I'm looking for you also. What happened to you? Kina Yud Gimel. Kina Yud Aleph. Kina Yud Aleph is about time. Kina Yud Aleph is a very interesting kina. It's a very difficult kina to comprehend in concept. It all talks about this kina. It was meant to be from day one, the day Hamikdash would be destroyed. That's what it says over and over. Adam Harishon, when he was created, he saw there would be a Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. Yaakov Avinu saw it would be destroyed. What?
Earlier, the first stanza tells you when it starts.
Eicha es Asher Kivar from the Maisa Bereishis. Where do you see Tovavo?
It says, Remes Heyos Eretz Tovavo. It goes back.
Oh, Asher Adloy Shechakim, even before the world was created.
It was built into
Maisa Bereishis that the world will be destroyed, that there will be a Chorban. And then we go through Bon of the Chorev, he goes through all different tekufos in creation in this world. Oh, it was meant to be. It was meant to be from day one the world that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. So I really don't know. It's hard. I don't really have a grasp on what we're trying. I can't say I don't know. This is what the Kina says. The Kina basically expresses a frustration that before the world was created, it was meant to be that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed and we're going to suffer. Yaakov Avinu knew this. Hashem knew this. The Avos knew this in all different forms. This kina brings out that idea that it was meant to be, and therefore, what? I don't know. Okay, whatever it is, kina tesvav is my favorite kina. You know why? Kina tesvav.
But it didn't have to be.
Ah, so it didn't have to be. It seems like it did have to be.
We could have made the right choices.
Yeah. Okay, kina tesvav is my by far. You have to hear me out. My favorite kina. You know why? Because I skipped this kina. This kina is massively long. It's shakal kineged all the kinas. It goes on and on and on and on and on, and I have absolutely no idea what it says. It is an extremely sophisticated kina which draws from the words of Eicha. Backwards, forwards. You need a diagram map. You really need mastery, phenomenal mastery in mathematical mind to keep cheshbon of how the Kalir is able to draw from all the parts of Eicha to compose a kina that expresses the general theme, pretty much, of Churban. It's a very long kina. Kemat, all of the
Everybody
programs that I've gone to, no one wants to touch it. No one wants to touch this kina. This kina, they look at it, okay, let's go to the next kina. Okay, one more kina, we're going to stop. One more kina. Kina Tes Zayin. Kina Tes Zayin is a very powerful, a very chashuv kina. It's a very heart-wrenching kina. Zechor Asher Osa Tzar Bifinim. The first one, there's something very unique about this kina. This kina is exclusively, it's the first kina that exclusively deals with, well, at least on a very superficial level, Churban Bayis Sheni. We discussed that all of the kinas are arranged into five categories. The five tragedies of Tisha B'Av. There are five tragedies on Tisha B'Av, and each one of the kinas falls into one of the five categories of the gzera, not to enter into Eretz Yisrael because of the meraglim, and Churban Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Beitar, which refers to tragedies that occurred post Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the last nine, which correspond to Tzion Sode Sechoresh. This kina is exclusively discussed as the category of Churban Bayis Sheni, and in fact, it could be it's one of the only ones. I think all the other ones, it's either exclusively the Bayis Rishon. Many of them really draw from both. There are a combination of both the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. This is only Bayis Sheni. Zechor Asher Osa Tzar Bifinim. First thing it talks about, Titus arrives on the scene and he enters into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he stamps the Pareichas, the Kodesh HaKadosh, and blood flows. There are many famous verloch on this, some will tell you, and it says here in the king that he believed in his sick mind that he caused harm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know the famous vart that the blood that flowed from the Pareichas was the blood that was sprinkled upon the Pareichas on Yom Kippur. And for 420 years, the Kohen Gadol, he on Yom Kippur, he sprinkled Dam HaPar, Yudosbun Daf Yomi, Dam HaPar, Dam HaSoyer, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, did the blood actually make contact with the Pareichas, did the blood not make contact with the Pareichas? Let's see, we learned that according to the opinion that says that the blood did make contact with the Pareichas, the blood was absorbed in the Pareichas, and now when he stabbed the Pareichas, the blood that was applied to the Pareichas for 420 years came gushing out, as if HaKadosh Baruch was saying, Ad kan, the buck stops here. You've sinned, I've forgiven you, Ad kan, I'm no longer forgiving you, you can take the blood back, the Churban will begin. Okay, by the way, where did he stab the Pareichas? From the inside or the outside? Okay, we assume he stabbed from the outside. It says really he stabbed the Pareichas from the inside. Okay, from the inside, not from the outside. Okay, that's another part. We have over here that he contaminated the lechem upon him. What about the menorah? This is a very bizarre thing. The secular account of Titus only describes him taking away the menorah. The arch of Titus has the menorah on display. There's no mention here in this kina that he took the menorah. The only thing that's mentioned is what is the opposite side of the menorah. We once discussed the menorah is like a metal detector. When you go on an airplane, you have to go, what's a metal detector? You have a pole here and a pole here, and you walk in between. How often did a person walk in between the menorah and the shulchan? Once a year, the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol, you pass between the menorah, it's like a metal detector, a ruchnius detector, to walk between the menorah and the shulchan. When he walked in between this Shevitz, Titus, he walked in between. I mean, it's a very big thing to walk in between. You know what I mean? We know people don't want to walk in between two women. Right? You're not supposed to walk in between two women. You're not supposed to walk.
Rabbi, you're running very low. The volume is very low.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to walk in between. There's a principle of walking in between two things. We are now Bein HaMitzarim. Kol Roitfeho Hisiguha Bein HaMitzarim. There is a principle of walking in between. When you walk in between the Shulchan and the Menorah, you're walking in between two very holy things. Titus, he walked in between these two things. He damaged these two things. By walking, he took away its Kedusha by walking in between these two things. We mention here only, for whatever reason, not for now, but we mention over here only the damage to the Shulchan. In the secular account of Titus, the focus is the Arch of Titus, the menorah. Is it the menorah, not the menorah? That's another discussion. Okay, another thing I want to mention over here, okay, we're out of time, so I want to mention one new idea based upon what we learned in the morning. There are so many things here. You have over here also the Kaisel HaMaravi. That's a topic in of itself. It's mentioned over here, the Kaisel HaMaravi. And you have over here the sacrifice of children. How the children, with 300 children, boys and girls, taken on a ship to Rome, to be used as objects of Avera. When the girls realized what was in store for them, they had a discussion and they came to the conclusion that the proper thing was to give up their lives right then and there by drowning themselves. The boys took the cue. They learned from the women, the girls, and the boys also jumped overboard. That's the third part of the kina. I want to mention one thing that we learned, one lesson that we learned based upon what we learned in the morning from Zechariah. We learned in Zechariah, let me just go back to the key. How do you say these words? Most people, when you hear them say the words, they're going to say, Zechor, remember, Asher Osir Tzar, Bifnim. Okay, Bifnim. What the enemy did inside. Inside what? Well, it goes on to say, Sholaf Harba, Uva, Lifnai, Vilifnim. Now, I actually saw in some of the keynotes, that's how it's actually how it's vowelized, Bifnim. But in the art school, it's not the way they put the vowels. The vowels are Zechor Asher Osor Tzar Bifinim. Bifinim. What does that word mean, Bifinim? It means inside, I guess. I don't know grammar. It means, we learned only a few days ago in Zechariah. Zechariah is describing the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the renewal. The new Yerushalayim that will be built on that day when Hashem comes and stands on the Har HaZeisim and the mountain splits and the water flows down the mountain. That day, and it begins to describe the expansion of Yerushalayim. And it says it will be rebuilt from the Shar HaPinin all the way until the Shar Hananel. And if you look in the Radak, they're back in the other forest and say, oh, what is this thing called the Shar Pinim? It's the same Shar that's mentioned in Yirmiyah called the Shar HaPino. And in those days, there was known there was a gate in the corner of, it was a well-known gate. It was the gate of Yerushalayim called the Shar HaPino. The Kalir here, the word Pinim does not mean on the inside. The word pinim over here means the gate. Remember what the Tsar did in Yerushalayim. Remember what the Tsar did. You have the word pinim?
Pinim, Zechariah.
It's Zechariah.
Right.
Here it is. Here you bring me the pasuk. Yisayv kol aretz karava migeva l'rimay negev Yerushalayim v'rama v'yoshva sachteha. Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. It will be established in its location where? L'mishahar Binyamin, ad mekoyim shar harishayim. Ad, all the way until the shar ha-pinim. Okay, pinim, it's a gate. Look at the Radak here. The Radak says, what is this thing called the shar ha-pinim? Hu shenema b'nevuas Yirmiyah, shar ha-pino. And what does it say there in Yirmiyah? It's describing the same scene, describing the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And it says there, this almost not this possible. It will be rebuilt and it will never be destroyed. It will be rebuilt in the most magnificent way. V'lo yinotesh, v'lo yichorev, lo'oila. I don't have the psukim here in front of me, but it says the most magnificent thing about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. The Kalir here, brilliantly, is telling us You're going to read a kina now that's going to describe the most horrific event that happened in Jewish history. You're going to read about Titois HaRasha coming in with chutzpah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, stabbing the Pareches, witnessing a gushing blood flowing from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing his tzar. You're going to witness the contamination of the Beis HaMikdash. Witness the people in Klal Yisrael that it says in this kingdom who are watching with horror what is happening. Witnessing the looting of the Beis HaMikdash, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Witnessing the chorban of the walls of the Har HaBayis. You're going to read about how the children, the kinderlach, the tinoika shol Beis Rav, are going to be shipped away for sin in Rome, and how they perish. But before you read about the horrors, what you're going to read in this kina, remember one thing. Remember what it says in Sefer Yirmiyah about the Shar HaPinim. The Shar HaPina. The day will come when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, reestablished. And it will be rebuilt in the most magnificent way, and it will never ever be destroyed. Let me give you nechama before I present to you the horror of what happened. Let me give you refuah koidem b'macha. Zechor, remember this. Asher osa tsar b'thinim. I'm going to tell you about what the enemy did in Yerushalayim. But remember, we're describing Yerushalayim in our Kodesh with a unique term. The term, the gate of Yerushalayim. The gate called the Shar HaPinim, or otherwise known as the Shar HaPina. And remember those psukim. Keep those psukim front and center in your mind when you deal with tragedy. When you embrace tragedy, you have to prepare yourself with emuna of geula, of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the nitzrius of Yerushalayim, the nitzrius of Klal Yisrael. Al tikri shar bifnim. Remember, you read it shar ha-pinim, like what we learned together here in Sefer Zechariah. All right, you know, we're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. We're not going to learn tomorrow Navi. We're going to spend the first hour rushing through the remainder of the Kinas. And then we'll learn Yoni D'Yoyma, Shabbos Chazon, like a regular parsha at the end. Okay, so tomorrow we'll use the first hour of the morning to do Kinas.
Is there a shiur tonight, Rabbi?
No, yes, Rabbi, it's very important. Tonight is a shiur. There's a shiur bar by Mayevsky. I cannot make it tonight. This week I was not able to make it. I'm sorry if I forgot to tell you. I'm sorry if I forgot to tell anyone. But tonight there will be a shiur. Please, anyone who would like to come at 7:15 on our night channel, given by Harav Hagoyin, Rabbi Shmuel Mayevsky.
Okay, you have a second.